Hezbollah deals Israel some nasty surprises, but is Israel being too conventional in return? I'm Pete Combs, and this is Aero News. It's Wednesday, July 19th, 2006. New developments in the Middle East since war broke out between Israel and Hezbollah guerrillas based in southern Lebanon. For one thing, Hezbollah has new and improved rockets that can reach farther into northern Israel than ever before and can cause more damage. For another, where did those anti-ship cruise missiles come from? John Pike is executive director of the well-respected defense website GlobalSecurity.org. He joins me now from his office in Northern Virginia. First, John, we've seen some significant improvements in Hezbollah's rocket inventory during this latest round of fighting.
Well, I think that historically Hezbollah has been firing rockets with ranges of half a dozen or a dozen miles. What we have seen within the last several days is firing rockets with ranges of several dozen miles as far down the coast as Haifa. That was new, but it was not unanticipated. They had basically been known to have received shipments of these longer-range rockets. What remains unclear is whether they have even larger rockets in significant numbers and what the ranges of those rockets might be. Another thing that has been completely surprising is the use of radar-guided anti-shipping cruise missiles. These were used to attack the Israeli patrol craft. They also hit another civilian freighter. Hezbollah was not known to be in possession of these anti-shipping cruise missiles and was not believed to have the degree of training or technical sophistication to operate them, leading some to suggest that possibly they were being operated directly by Iranian Revolutionary Guards rather than by Hezbollah.
Was there any sort of a radar surveillance facility that the Iranians would have had available to them in the theater?
No. I mean, they basically would have had to have brought in radars that would have been used to support this. Possibly they could have used radars that were already available to Lebanon's military, but exactly how this was done remains very unclear, at least on an unclassified basis.
We'll hear more of this interview in just a moment. But first, this AeroCast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V220 and V300T engines.
How up-to-date is your aircraft engine? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years that you almost never have to raise the hood. Why can't an airplane engine be just as simple and just as reliable? Now it can. Check out the new V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services. The all-aluminum construction of the V220 and V300T gives these engines the best power-to-weight ratio in their class. Earlier aluminum block engines suffered from excessive wear unless they were protected with heavy steel cylinder liners. In the V220 and V300T, each cylinder bore is surface-coated with Nicosil, an electro-deposited nickel coating containing hard silicone carbide particles. The benefits of a better power-to-weight ratio include increased range and higher useful loads, with less of a trade-off between fuel capacity and passenger or cargo carrying capacity. The AES V220 and V300T, as simple as a car's engine, but oh so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at VAircraftEngine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to our Aero News special feature. GlobalSecurity.org's John Pike talks about recent improvements in the rocket and missile capabilities touted by the Islamic guerrilla group Hezbollah as it takes on a vastly superior military from Israel. For one thing, those cruise missiles launched at seaborne targets early in the conflict. John, does Israel have a capable defense against such attacks?
Well, there are a variety of things that ships can do to make it more difficult for an anti-shipping cruise missile to destroy them. There are a variety of countermeasures that can be fired, both electronic and chaff. You can also attempt to shoot the cruise missile down. The bottom line, though, is that these can be a difficult threat to counter, particularly if you're unprepared for it. And I think in this case, the Israelis simply weren't expecting it.
The United States does have a defense toward this, the Phalanx system. Is that right?
Well, part of the American defense against anti-shipping cruise missiles is a high-power Gatling gun, variously called the Phalanx or the Sea Whiz, that would hopefully enable the missile to be shot down before it gets close enough to an American ship to destroy it.
If I could, back to the ballistic missiles or the artillery rockets. Let's talk about the difference, just so everyone's clear.
Well, the Hezbollah has used two fundamentally different types of systems. One of them is an artillery rocket. The generic name for that is a Katyusha, derived from a type of artillery rocket that the Soviets had back during World War II. The second type is an anti-shipping cruise missile, which is basically a drone aircraft that has an explosive warhead on it. The anti-shipping cruise missile is radar-guided, is fairly accurate, and is flying with a little jet engine and wings a few yards above the ocean surface. These artillery rockets are unguided once they leave the launcher. They use rocket motors rather than jet engines, and they're much less accurate. They're probably going to hit the right city, but don't bother trying to aim at a specific building.
And they are fired as artillery is basically fired. You aim, you elevate, and you fire.
But basically it's an alternative to artillery. It would be the weapon of choice for a group like Hezbollah because they could put the rocket launcher into place, get it properly aligned, and then get out of there, fire the rocket remotely so that Israeli counter-battery fire is basically going to be falling on an empty field.
We'll hear the rest of this special feature in just a moment. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR-22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR-22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Hi, I'm Pete Combs, and we're fast approaching the most exciting week in general aviation. Thousands of planes and thousands of pilots are making ready for AirVenture 2006, and we are too. Stay with Aero News for the latest on aviation and aerospace. Join us every day this week for our special Oshcasts, features about aviation designed to get you in the spirit of the world's greatest air show. And the week of the big event, be sure to follow our special coverage of Oshkosh. In addition to our regular news coverage, we'll bring you a special Oshkosh briefing, a touch and go from Whitman Field, and every night's presentation from the theater in the woods. We're all over Oshkosh, and with ANN special coverage, you will be too. Listen in on your favorite podcasting directory and on our webpage, aero-news.net.
Air Journey for pilots by pilots shares with you 8 years of travel adventure from the Bahamas, the Caribbean, and Central America to Europe and South America. Did you know that you can air journey your plane to your destination? Air Journey's 24/7 concierge service will help you design and fly your own flying journey adventure. From navigation log to authorization paperwork, charts, flight plan, hotel reservations, transfers, sightseeing, and special guides, Air Journey has it all for you. Call for Air Journey's expertise and feel the adventure. 888-554-3774 or visit airjourney.com.
We're back now to wrap up today's ANN special feature. GlobalSecurity.org's John Pike talking about recent developments in the air over both Lebanon and Israel. John, has there been any involvement, direct involvement by the Lebanese military on Hezbollah's behalf?
We really have not been able to get a clear picture of what's been going on the ground and what the disposition of the Lebanese military has been with respect to Hezbollah. A clear Israeli intent in bombing Lebanese infrastructure targets has been to bring pressure on the Lebanese government to try to disarm Hezbollah, basically trying to communicate to the Lebanese government that however much pain Hezbollah might inflict on you, if you try to disarm them, that we, the Israelis, are going to inflict even more pain if you don't disarm them.
More surprises in the Hezbollah inventory. I understand that although the initial attack on the Israeli warship was thought to have been carried out by some sort of a drone, a predator, for lack of a better term, that was not the case. As you said, that was a missile, but that they do have a drone capability.
Well, we know that Hezbollah has had Iranian reconnaissance drones for the last several years. There have been several noteworthy incursions into Israeli airspace. Certainly, if you're going to be targeting these long-range artillery rockets, using a TV camera on a drone to spot your targets is the sort of thing the United States has been doing for some time. Iran has developed this capability and has transferred at least a few of these reconnaissance drones to Hezbollah that they've been using in southern Lebanon for the last several years.
Are you, at this point, with your vast resources, willing to venture any sort of opinion as to where Hezbollah's improved arms capability is coming from?
Well, I think it's generally believed that the primary supplier of these artillery rockets, cruise missiles, and so forth, to Hezbollah is Iran. Certainly Hezbollah has received material support from Syria in the past, but Syria basically lacks the sophisticated domestic arms production industry that Iran has, the sorts of rockets, the sort of UAVs, the anti-ship and cruise missiles that have been so in evidence over the last week or so. These are made in Tehran. These are not made in Damascus.
Tehran does have an increasingly capable missile program. Is that right?
Well, Iran found itself caught up short in the war with Iraq back in the 1980s. They faced an arms embargo from the United States. They've placed considerable emphasis on developing, in conjunction with countries like North Korea, a domestic arms industry, and over time have proven quite resourceful in producing a great variety of weapon systems, many of which are being used in combat against Israel right now.
We've spoken quite a bit about the Hezbollah side of this conflict and some of the missiles and rocketry that they're using there. Have you seen anything innovative or surprising on the Israeli side?
Well, if anything, it's the absence of innovation on the Israeli side that one is concerned about. Historically, when the Lebanese government was thought to be essentially under the control of Syria, when things got out of hand or unpleasant for Israel in Lebanon, they would go after the direct source of the irritant. They would also bomb Lebanese infrastructure targets to try to force the Lebanese government of the day to get things back more in liking with Israeli preferences. Even though the Cedar Revolution has fundamentally transformed the politics of the government of Lebanon, as did the withdrawal of Syrian forces from Lebanon, the Israelis are sticking with their operational concept of bombing Lebanese infrastructure targets, which possibly is not as politically useful today as it would have been back, with the old Lebanese government being a pawn of Syria.
The Israelis have vowed they will continue this conflict until the two soldiers who were taken captive are returned and the rocket attacks are ended. John, what do you see down the road in this conflict?
Well, Hezbollah is reputed to have over 10,000 artillery rockets. They've only used a few hundred of them. They could probably keep up this sort of bombardment that has made life very difficult in northern Israel for the rest of the year. I think at this point the big challenge is that the Israelis' objective of disarming and neutralizing Hezbollah is exactly the sort of thing that the Hezbollah is not going to go along with. And they are Hezbollah is of the view that it is only by virtue of being armed that they've managed to make the political gains, the security gains that they've made thus far. There's also the wild card of Iran's involvement. It's going to be a lot more difficult to pressure Hezbollah if they're backed up by Iran's Revolutionary Guard than if they were acting only on their own resources. The problem at this point is I think there's considerable room for further escalation of the violence, considerable room for prolonged conflict of this sort, not immediately evident who's going to back down, that either side is going to blink.
Do you see any active involvement on the part of Tehran?
Well, certainly the sophistication of the anti-shipping cruise missile attack on Israel's patrol craft in the early days of this conflict led some people to conclude that it was just beyond the capacity of Hezbollah to operate such a sophisticated weapon system, and that it was seen as being an indicator that Iran has become directly involved in this conflict rather than simply using Hezbollah as an indirect proxy.
John Pike is executive director at globalsecurity.org. John, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Pete Combs. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the airport.